Kenner City Council meeting, March 3rd, 2015.
Really? According to the clock on the wall, it's 7 p.m., and so we'd like to call this meeting to order. And would you take a poll, please?
Yes.
And roll call.
Council President Cardoza.
Here.
Councilmember Jones.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar.
Here.
Councilmember Steer.
Here.
Mayor Nelson.
Here, thank you. And is Chris Mend here?
No.
Okay. Well, then we'll just proceed on. Would you please join me in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. May be seated. First item of business is the consent agenda. Are there any questions or additions or corrections on the consent agenda?
If none, Mr. Mayor, I'd move we approve the consent agenda as presented.
It's been moved. We approve the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. Thank you. And I see our city treasurer made it back from Glens Ferry.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. All right.
Just pulled it.
Pardon?
I just pulled it.
Okay. How did the floating turn out?
It turned out well. They survived.
Expensive, but well.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you do down there?
They have what's called the Academy of Equine Dentistry there, and so it's a horse dental college.
Oh.
And so basically, they need subjects to train and certify and actually recertify their dental professionals for horses. So it's much cheaper.
So you let them do your teeth.
Yes.
Yeah. You're a brave man, John.
You can't call me Buck.
Hey, John, you're on the grass right here.
All right. Thank you, John. Next item of business is the business items. Consideration to approve resolution R10 2015 authorizing execution of reimbursement agreement with Falcon Ridge Charter School. And this will be presented by Gordon.
Mr. Mayor, this is similar to the one we had 2 weeks ago. In that case, it was for Arbor Ridge Park, but this was an oversized PI line. The reimbursement is in the vicinity of $7,400 spread over 10 years in the reimbursement. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, questions of Gordon?
Mr. Mayor, I'd move we approve resolution R10-2015.
Second.
It's been moved and second. We approve resolution number R10-215. Would you poll the council, please?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember Steer?
Yes.
Resolution R10-2015 has been approved on publication becomes law. Okay, review proposed RFP for retail concessions at the vacated CUNA Historical Museum building situated next to the skateboard park. Consideration to approve publication of RFP. Mr. Rhodes.
Good evening, Mayor. Council, for the record, Richard Rhodes. Before you is my draft attempt at the RFP for the old historic building at the skateboard park, and some considerations. What we're considering doing is making a concession retail type of establishment there to provide goods and or services to those that utilize the park in the summer months.
we go out in the paper and we take those suggestions in, consider them, and then bring that back for you for final consideration on some type of lease, depending on the conditions. The thoughts are either a rental amount or perhaps a percentage of the sales as part of the income. I'll stand for any questions.
Okay, questions? Mayor Richard?
On page 3 of 8 of 7B, under project description, the very last sentence, Richard, the operator will be required to complete interior finishes and equipment where necessary. Should there also be a sentence there that there will not be any reimbursement from the city, so they don't think that we're going to reimburse them for the...
We can either do that there or typically in the lease agreement.
Okay.
Is where we would put that.
It's just something that I thought might be just to prevent hard feelings later, thinking they were going to be reimbursed for their work or remodeling.
Taj Mahal of retail, yes. Concession stands.
Yeah.
Yep. And the other question is page 4 of 8, under qualifications, about halfway down, it says additional copies of this RFP as well as copies of documents referenced in this RFP may be obtained by emailing. Also, copies may be obtained in person at the CUNA. So you may want to insert office there.
Okay, I see that. Thank you.
That was all I had, Mayor.
Okay. Further questions?
Mayor?
Yes.
No. Do we feel this is the best use for this building? I mean, we don't need it for storage. We don't need it for parks, anything like that, before we go putting out that we will let somebody rent it.
Yeah, I don't know about storage. Parks guys, I think you guys were part of the process of deciding.
Yeah, we have enough storage for
all
right now.
So I just want to make sure we don't, you know, we have a building that we paid for it on to rent that we have no use for it before we do that. The other questions I have, I guess some of the stuff we can talk about during the lease part and all that. I'm not for profit sharing. I'd rather have a straight lease. My concern is that you let somebody have a profit sharing 1 month, they don't do good, and then they're gone the next month, and then we can't re-lease it to somebody else. I have some concerns about, we are allowing a barbecue to be outside, yet if we have a temporary vendor, we require barbecues to be in closed, secure location. I just think aesthetics-wise, that may not look the best to have a barbecue. I'd like to have something, maybe if we're going to allow that to be outside, maybe some sort of fencing around it, safety-wise. And I don't know if it poses a fire hazard.
Yeah, I think we were thinking more of the larger type, not just a little $69 thing stuck out there that could get stolen or whatever. But yeah, we'll consider that in their proposals on what they want to do. The problem with putting something on the inside of that is it lacks a hood.
Oh yeah, no, I understand that. I just want to make sure we're consistent that we're allowing one, I'm going to call it a vendor because they're going to be there seasonal, one vendor to have a barbecue outside, yet we require another vendor not to be able to have a barbecue outside their
right
establishment. I just want to make sure we're consistent with
okay
that. The other question I have is there going to be any issues with fairness with other vendors coming in and wanting to set up and sell the same thing? During, you know, maybe we've got some guy that wants to sell tubes and frisbee golf down at Swan Falls parking lot. I mean, are we going to allow that so that everybody has the same playing field, or are we going to, since this guy is going to be leasing the building from us, give him preferential treatment? Or, and then along the same lines of, you know, if we have events going on, are they allowed to just open up and start selling during an event?
Yeah, we'll have to consider that, I guess, at the time on how we want to do that. I didn't look at this as being an exclusive. perhaps they do well, which is good, and somebody just next year decides to come along. We'll just kind of have to look at that. It would be more difficult for that person to come along unless they were a vendor that we're setting up. They can't do it now in the parking lot. However, with the number of items that they would probably be selling, tubes, golf disc, and those type of things, I couldn't see that they could just set up a table and try to move that in and out every day or night type of thing. So hopefully this is a successful enterprise and it may spawn something else. But
yeah, and I mean, definitely, I think it would be a good attraction for people to come down the park. I mean, I know that's the ultimate goal, is to get more people down there. And I just want to make sure it's fair for everybody, is right. My concern. And we're not trying to push this one way or another. That's my concern. So thank you.
Any further questions? Okay, then you're rightfully before the council for the consideration to approve publication of RFP.
I would move that we approve publication of the RFP for the vacated CUNA Historical Museum building.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Do we have to have, since it's putting it out for a contractual thing, okay, would you poll the council then?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember Steer?
Yes.
All right, the consideration to approve publication for an RFP on the vacated CUNY Historic Museum is approved. Okay, the next item is consideration to approve resolution R11-2015, authorizing acceptance of sewer easements from Water's Edge Farm LLC. Gordon?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, the city's out for bid now on a sewer line. These easements are related to that sewer line, and it is between the Deerhorn Lift Station and Arbor Ridge Park, not Arbor Ridge Park, but Arbor Ridge Subdivision. And so these three easements are all related to each other, all part of the same really easement or body of easements to assist the construction of that sewer line. And I'm proposing that you accept these easements and we record them as such.
Okay, questions of Gordon?
Gordon, does this run anywhere near the park itself? Is it in that subdivision that's already there? Is it next to it or?
It's they just finished up a phase of Arbor Ridge Subdivision. It's called Phase 2. And this easement would be south of that recently finished phase. And from there down to, what do we call that, the Deerhorn Subdivision?
And the reason I was asking is there's no, it's nowhere near the park where it would be beneficial for us to try to tie in sewer and water for a restroom at the park at this point.
This one is quite a ways away okay. from it, but if that's an issue that we should be thinking about, let me give some thought to that one.
I just think that if we have a developer who's developing near a park, I would assume it would be cost-effective for us to try to get sewer and water in for a restroom at that point. If they're already digging up roads right near the park. I just something maybe look at long-term wise down the road that.
The thing that triggered in my mind is there's a sewer line being constructed down Hubbard right now. And I was trying to think if that one would be the logical one to head towards the park. I need to think about it just a little bit and see what we can do about it.
Okay, we now have consideration to approve resolution R11-2015.
Move we approve resolution number R11-2015.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve resolution R11-2015. Would you poll the council, please?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember Steer?
Yes.
Okay, resolution R11-2015 has been approved. I don't know, do we have to publish resolutions? Okay. All right, the next item is review of park addition to the High Five grant. Bobby Withrow?
Mayor, Council, for the record, Bobby Withrow, City of Kuna Parks. With the High Five grant, we got money to put into some of our parks, and Chris Daly went through and did a park inventory and kind of showed us what each park was missing. So we went through and figured out what was most important for each park, and then just some things we needed to upgrade. As far as that goes. So I'll start with the first park, Harbor Ridge Park. We already have open space there. We're redoing the ditch for the soccer fields. We do want to put a bike rack so kids have a place to put their bikes, and we do want to add two covered areas for families who are picnicking there. Any questions or anything? If there are, just interrupt me.
Okay.
All right, the second one is Bernie Fisher Park. That's the park that has almost everything. It's got swings, playgrounds, bathrooms. The one thing that's kind of hard to read that I did want to do there is put a new backboard. I know $800 sounds like a lot of money, but that's just a ballpark figure. There's no way I would spend $800 on a backboard. It's just so I don't go over budget with it. Butler Park, there we have swings, playground equipment, benches for sitting, and a little bit of open space. We do want to put a covered picnic there because it does get used by families. Next is Chaparosa Park. All we have over there is open green space. So I want to go through and put in a couple of tetherball courts, add a covered picnic area, and put in a bike rack. Farm Estates Park. We do have a full-length basketball court there, parking and green open spaces used for soccer. This one, we want to line the basketball court, add some trees for shade for the folks who are playing soccer, put in a bike rack and a covered picnic area, and then line the parking lot so there are designated parking areas or parking spots. Next is the Greenbelt. We have Frisbee Golf, lots of open space, walking path. But what I want to do there is add some benches along the pathway so people walking their dogs or something can just sit down. Next we have Nicholson Park. That's the park where we do all of our fishing. We do have a covered picnic area there now and green open space. I do want to add two covered areas on the side of the pond for shade, and then a bike rack for the kids. Next is Sadie Creek Park.
Could I interrupt?
Yes.
What do you view as the covered area for fishing? Just a
imagine like a backstop type of deal. Not a full shelter, but something about 6 foot wide that has a roof over it. So, you know, kids can go under there when it's really hot outside.
Do you envision it'd be close enough to the water to fish out of?
I don't think we can get it that close,
okay.
But they can definitely cast their poles out and then walk up and get underneath
okay.
it.
All right.
So it's not going to be very far away.
So when it's 113 out,
uh-huh.
they have someplace?
Yeah, okay. There's a little bit all of shade, right. yes. All right, Sadie Creek Pond, there's open green space. That's where a lot of the people swim, even though it is an irrigation pond. And we do have a covered picnic area out there. I did want to add some trees for shade along the west banks and volleyball court, because that area seems to get a lot of kids and everything.
The volleyball would go in the sand area there by the water?
It'll actually go in the park area. We'll dig out a space for it.
Okay.
And then Winchester Park. We have green space over there, playground equipment, swings, rose garden, and picnic tables. We'd like to put in a bike rack, two covered areas for families picnicking there, and a tetherball court. So far of the $20,000 we got from the High Five grant, with everything there, it's $19,150. And everything, all the numbers that you saw were more budgetary numbers, so there will be some remaining.
Cool.
Any questions, comments?
Questions?
Mayor?
Yeah.
Bobby?
Yes.
On the green belt, are the benches going to be down by the water, or are you going to put some along the pathway?
We're going to put some along the pathway.
Thank you.
And on the rose garden in Winchester, who's putting that in and who's taking care of it?
It's actually already in, and we maintain it. We keep it trimmed up and everything.
Okay. Well, we'll have to have a meeting out there one of these times.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
At the Nicholson Park, could we put a couple loads of sand out there around the beaches that's kind of getting washed down in and becoming a hole?
Hole, okay, yeah.
And then just, I think it just kind of...
From erosion and stuff, yeah. Yep,
yeah,
we can definitely put some more sand.
I think it just needs that to look a little better, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mayor?
Yes.
Bobby, I appreciate your passion. I'll tell you that for sure, because I'm same way with parks. The covered areas, I know the mayor asked about it. The ones at like the park, like let's use Nicholson Park, two covered area for fishing. Then you had them over, the other one had the picnic area at Winchester Park.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference between what you're thinking for the fishing and the picnic area?
Yes. The covered areas for fishing are going to be like half. If you cut one of them in half,
okay,
then that's what it's going to look like.
Okay. And then the picnics are going to be the full ones?
Yeah, the full ones.
Are you thinking about the same one that's already that you guys just built, like that size?
Yep.
I know that we set aside like $7,500 for picnic shelters this year.
Yeah.
We've already exhausted that?
No, we haven't yet. We're actually deciding on a bigger one and where to put it for that. So that's where we're at with that one.
And then are you satisfied with the amount of trees? It just seemed like we're a little short on trees.
We always need trees everywhere. So
I know it's from that, remember in the that survey they did, there was a couple parks that they recommended trees, and it just seems like we're
I think they were the Farm Estates and Sadie Creek were the big ones.
Yeah.
So that's why I put in there for shade trees.
Okay. So I know those take the longest to to grow. So. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate everything you do. So.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay. Further questions?
No, that's great.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bobby.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Ordinances. First reading of ordinance number 2015-06. An ordinance amending Title VII, Chapter 3, Section 10, regarding the possession of firearms in the skate park, where the language is removed from the signage required to be posted at the skate park, making several formatting changes and providing an effective date. Are there any questions? Gordon, are you presenting this one?
That's my order.
Richard?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Richard Rhodes. After we passed this last year, shortly after we passed it, the Idaho legislature passed their right to carry law, which essentially says in almost all public places you can carry a firearm. So this is just striking that language from what's required to be on the signage and making a couple of formatting changes. I will stand for any questions.
Okay, questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
Have we gotten that sign fixed where it was closed from dusk or dawn to dusk?
Did we get this? I think they fixed it right away. I
haven't read it in a while.
Oh. Oh, that's right. Did we get our signs, though, done that mirror the statue? Okay. The one that was up was put up by somebody else.
Yeah.
And so apparently our signs aren't up yet, so we'll get that done before the spring.
Our intent is still to change that out and...
Yes.
Okay. Great, thank you.
Mayor, Richard, on page 5 of 14, under possession or consumption of alcoholic beverages, would it be against the law for me to go down there and open up a beer, sit down and drink it in a city park? As an individual?
That's certainly the intent of it, yes.
I would be breaking the city ordinance?
Yes.
Okay.
What about others that put it in a paper bag?
Is that a forthcoming question?
Is that kind of strict for Idaho not to allow an individual to sit and just enjoy a beer in the city park?
Well, we allow it if they get a catering permit. What we were trying to accomplish was, because they're focused on the kids and stuff, not having them go, and how are we going to regulate if they're just going to have one beer while they're having a burger or something versus six or seven and becoming drunk and disorderly? It's certainly a compromise on how do we deal with who we're trying to focus those parks on with the person who wants to go have a beer.
Okay.
Okay, further question?
Thank you.
Okay, we have ordinance number 2015-06 properly before you. I kind of would defer to your good judgment if you feel we should put this on the slow track and have another reading of it for two additional council meetings.
I don't know that it really...
I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I don't think it changes anything enough to be a problem.
Okay.
It's not like we're restricting anything further or being more permissive.
Okay. Then we'd need to...
Mr. Mayor, I would move we dispense with the full reading and three consecutive readings of ordinance 2015-06.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we dispense with the full reading and at three different readings of ordinance number 2015-06. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve ordinance number 2015-06.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We approve ordinance number 2015-06. Would you poll the council, please?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember Steer?
Yes.
The ordinance number 2015-06 has been passed. Upon publication becomes law.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve a summary publication of ordinance number 2015-06.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve a summary publication of the ordinance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. Okay. Let's see. Am I leaving anything out?
No.
I think we've concluded it all, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there any discussion items that the council has?
Mayor?
Yes.
I had one. What is our status on filling either the clerk's position or whatever position that we're going to have open?
Yeah, we've really put a hold on the positions waiting to pay off the general fund that was accumulated by Brenda before she left. And we're trying to balance a little more of the general fund for the additional person that was put on to kind of help us out during Bobby's illness. So when we get closer to that we don't leave a serious gap there. We intend then to hire those replacements.
And our interim city clerk is not overstressed and overworked?
Yes, she is.
Always.
Yeah, we, just for information, we did appear before the county commissioners today, and we took Treasurer John, and we took Attorney Richard, and Chris, and I was there kind of in the way, because all of our staff did a really good job. Commissioner Case was kind of unrelenting in the fact that by his figures, that $101 for 147,000 house was misleading, because the way he calculated, it was twice that much. And so we pointed out the facts of how that was arrived, and he hadn't taken in the homeowner's exemption and what have you. And they still wouldn't approve it. They decided they'd wait, because they had a few more days to wait and require us to come back in. And so then today, Wendy got a relatively harsh letter from Ada County about our northern boundary. And they really made some, they're not exactly charges as much as they are observations, but we're gonna fire back like we did to our senator on a firm letter and talk about the legalities of how did that line get set, that Meridian is so sold on, that it had a sign-off by the county. Well, the negotiation is a three-way negotiation, and Kuna refused to sign it. And so how did it become a recognized line any more than our line, which we've set at Amity, only we have approved it. And then we were invited into a negotiation with the county without anything said about Meridian. So we're gonna write to them and say, well, who represents Meridian? Is this what happened the last time that the county decided to represent Meridian against us? So we're just going to challenge firmly but legally and politely what's being said by them. And I think it's time that if we have to, we'll publish the senator's letter and the letter from Ada Planning and what have you, and let our people know that what we're doing is covered by state law, it's perfectly legal, and that we represent the good people here like they're supposed to.
And that contrary to what Meridian is telling people, we're not forcibly annexing anybody. It's right. Only people who are coming to us and saying, please, let us in.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think it's time that we not just roll over, that we go ahead and take some stands. And I, in their letter, they refuse to acknowledge even our southeast, which needs, you know, to be annexed for the businesses that want to come in. And so I think it'll get more harsh if we don't back them down. And I really would like to see an explanation as to how did that get a legal recognition by the county, when in fact nobody from CUNA ever signed it. And our council at that time took a anti-signing stance. So, and that was in 1999. So, anyway, we'll try to get at least each quadrant to quit being all only on one side and let our people know that we're trying to hold our best benefits for them as best we can. So anyway, it was kind of interesting what was said over there by Commissioner Case. It wasn't very flattering. So anyway, Not that everybody has to love us, but anyway. So further discussion items.
Maybe it has something to do with the season. Easter's coming, maybe we're going to be crucified.
Well, fortunately, there wasn't anybody over there that seemed to be, you know, they just kind of listened to him, and, you know, nobody got up and applauded, or Meridian wasn't there.
I'm just amazed with Dave. When he was the highway commissioner, he seemed to be so forward towards Kuna. And now that he's got elected, it's almost like he's anti-Kuna all of a sudden. I don't know what happened. He's gone from one extreme to the other. Nice gentleman. I have nothing bad to say about Dave. I'm just surprised on his reversal of Kuna all of a sudden. I don't know what Meridian has presented to him, but, you know, whatever they've done, they've convinced him that we're at fault here. I think it should get down to the basics of what the United States is built on, that the people should be able to decide where they want to go. It's very basic. Why should a big city be dictating to a small city and trying to force us into submittal?
See, another thing that he said today was he didn't know anything about it. He hadn't received any mailings, and we've checked with the post office, and the two mailings that went out included him. And there was also on the internet and what have you, and he and I were standing together up at the ball field while we were waiting for Boone Bartholomew. And so we had some time, and I would tell him all about what we were going to do. That, you know, we were going to have a recreation district, and we were, and he thought it was a great idea. And then publicly today, he said, nobody has said a word to me about it. And so, anyway, I didn't jump up and remind him of that conversation, but he was saying he didn't get any of the mailers, he hadn't seen anything on signs and what have you. So it appeared from what he was saying, you know, like we're totally remiss in the way we did things.
Well, that is kind of the trend. I mean, that House Bill 127 that's coming up tomorrow, it's the same thing. That's taking people's rights away from them being able to choose where they want to go. And I don't know why there's such a push for that now. If government thinks they should have a lot more control over the people. And
well, that's one of those bills that's Mike Moyle's bill. And I'm told that one city over there in his district has really irritated him because they've taken some place that he used to park away. And so that seems to be the background of why we're getting even with cities. So I don't even know which city. But,
Mayor?
Yes?
I would like to congratulate Bob on the historical building. Next to 462 Main, it's probably the second best looking building in town.
It is. That's awesome.
It really looks
great
nice.
Great job.
Really does. Have you gone inside?
Yeah.
It's very just, nice. They've just done a great, great job.
Yeah, I bothered them 3 or 4 times on my way back from the post office. In the
I have one thing.
Yes.
You know, with Chris, not Chris, with Brenda leaving and having all the vacation that we needed to pay out, it kind of brings back to a front for me the desire to potentially talk a little bit more about the leave policies and stuff that we have. I'm so glad that we can provide, you know, generous leave, sick leave and vacation for our employees, but I think it's all, you know, part of the nice thing is if people actually use it, and if they never use it, you know, it kind of defeats the whole purpose of employees being rejuvenated and being more effective workers. And there's all sorts of studies that say if you take, you know, 2 weeks of vacation a year, you're better, you'll do better at your job. In any case, I think it might be a good idea, if people are open to it, to have further conversation about potentially going back to the discussion we had before about, do we want to come up with a voluntary leave transfer program? anything along those lines, and along with that, institute annual caps on how much annual leave you can carry over. I'm totally fine with accumulating sick leave till you're blue in the face, because I, well, I'm assuming that just as with the federal government, sick leave is not an entitlement, and so you don't get cashed out at the end of your tenure as you do for annual leave. Having some sort of a cap on how much you can roll over each year, I think will help us better manage costs. And because I know we have employees that have amassed a ton, we would obviously need to put a significant amount of thought into how we would implement that, and if we would, you know, say you have, depending on how much leave somebody might have over the cap, you know, you have this many years to use that, and all that kind of stuff, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to cause a situation where we're having to cash out tons of employees with tons of leave at once and causing a financial problem. And I don't want to force a situation where employees feel like they have to take a month, everybody has to take a month off right now so they don't lose it, kind of a thing. But
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry.
Yes.
If I can address that, I'm very close to having the revised personnel manual done where we're addressing those issues. My hope is that within the next couple of weeks I'll have it done. And then I was going to schedule workshops so we could sit down and go through some of those things, because there's choices to be made to pay time off versus sick time, vacation time, carryover, and those types of things. So very close to having that done. There's a couple of things that I'm putting in there now, and then I'm doing the formatting so we can, if we add policies later, we can just slide it in there. One thing I've noticed is we've got personnel manuals adopted that stapled together, and then we've got these resolutions that have been passed that are nowhere referenced, and unless you know to go look at some resolutions, you're going to think the personnel manual is the manual with these things that aren't. So that's where I'm working on primarily now, is trying to get the formatting down so we can slide things in and make it so that when we make changes or add policies, we can. But expect that in the near future.
Yeah, we will have 5 different policies, from uniforms to what you were talking about, and we're going to modernize that up, and you'll have quite a bit to digest on that, but we're taking the personnel policy and manual and putting new policies in that will cover just about everything that a good manager would look at.
Mayor?
Yeah.
John, do we, when they accrue it during the year, does that get set aside anywhere where it goes into like a fund that, because my concern would be 4 years from now, you have, everybody decides to get up and quit, and you got massive amounts of vacation, that would just destroy a budget. Where if we accrue, pay it out into a fund as we accrue it, then when they take the vacation, the money's already there and it won't hurt anything. So, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Do we do anything like that, or?
For the record, John Marsh, Councilmember Jones, there's not a separate, like a health and welfare bucket of money sitting there. It would essentially have to come out of reserves. If like in your example, if we had 10 people quit and they had amassed 1,500 hours of vacation time that we legally have to pay out to them, that would come out of reserves, obviously. Certainly you'd have to fill those gaps and vacated in positions with other positions. Likely those would probably come in at a lesser pay. So eventually we'd catch up and replenish those reserves. But there isn't per se a bucket of money that's set aside for that contingency. So basically, sitting reserves, essentially. So,
well, we will put a limit on what they can carry over.
And one thing on that, and we do have to book a liability for those vacation hours that are sitting out there. So we do recognize the expense, and we obviously make sure that we've got assets to cover those liabilities. So it's not like we're in the hole.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it's not, sorry, I was just going to say, if it's not already in there, one thing that I would like to consider, and if this is just something that we should talk about at the workshops, it's fine. Crediting sick leave, like the problem in the federal sector, for the longest time, you didn't get any credit for your sick leave, and so you'd have people who, like maybe they had an entire year of sick leave built up, And when they retired, it was just going to be gone. So they got retirement flu, which like randomly struck on Fridays and Mondays for the entire year leading up, you know, to their retirement. And so they would just be gone one or two days a week. So to remedy that, they changed it, they phased it in. So now you get full one-for-one credit every day of sick leave you have at the end of your retirement. You get credit as if you worked another day. So essentially, if you have 6 months of sick leave built up, at the end, you can retire 6 months early, and it will be as if you retired with a full, you know, 30 years or 20 years or whatever. Could we do something like that? Does our Percy or what, I'm not saying not Percy, but does our retirement thing, might we be able to?
So you're just talking about retirement, not as somebody terminating.
Just retirement.
Just retirement. So yep. Somewhat of a benefit for working all those years and
yeah.
Doing that and not taking the sick time.
Exactly.
Okay.
An incentive, you know, rewarding people for using their sick leave only when they're actually sick and when they need it, and giving them an incentive to not just burn it as they get closer to retiring.
Okay.
Are you talking about paying them out? Or are you talking
no.
them? Or they would just get a seniority date 6 months.
Yeah,
down.
Basically,
yeah.
Like if,
okay.
if we have a 30-year retirement,
yep.
I could retire at 29 years and 6 months if I have 6 months of sick leave built up. And yeah. But it would count like I retired at 30.
Like you actually worked those days.
Yeah.
Not, okay. No, that's yeah. No problem with that.
Yeah.
I think what the state does is they'll take your entire whatever you got left in sick leave and convert it to a dollar amount and buy you that much paid up life insurance.
Oh, life insurance.
So that's just another way they happen to handle it. But,
yeah, I'm definitely so. Interested in having there be some compensation. I mean, stuff happens, you know, where you might need to take a lot of sick leave. But for people who don't have those kinds of things, some sort of incentive or, you know, something to say thank you for not
thank you for
it.
Not being sick.
Yeah. For not abusing it. For yeah. not abusing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll look at that.
Mr. Mayor, just for the information of council, I've been meeting with my departments for the last 3 weeks. This precise issue, trying to figure out how to manage not just the vacation time, but the compensation time, comp time. Trying to figure out. I'm not sure just exactly what tools I have to deal with to try to get this thing back in order. For instance, one issue coming up was asking staff, why is it that we save comp time through the weekend so that now becomes time and a half in the next week instead of just taking the hour or hours off on the Friday afternoon to try to keep from costing the city some more hours of time. Just little things like that just seems to show up over and over again, and I'm struggling with it, trying to figure out how to get at it.
Well, we've reviewed that, overtime, comp time, the whole bit, and Richard will have some ideas on that, and before we get into a work session with the council, we'll have a work session with the directorates to make sure that we haven't made your life more miserable by what we're trying to do, you know, to save the budget. So anyway, we're pretty close to getting on with those. And I don't think we did anything with sick leave, so we can look at
no,
that.
No, not too. Before, but I, like,
yeah.
And my
yeah.
whole thing with the, I'm totally in favor of having a voluntary leave transfer thing. But in order for that to work, it has to be vacation that you're donating, not sick leave, because sick leave isn't an entitlement, so we would just be shooting ourselves in the foot with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So, and in order for that to work, then you'd have to cap your annual leave, otherwise nobody would ever have an incentive to donate
yeah.
any of their vacation time.
Good point, yeah.
Mr.
Okay.
Mayor, could I change the subject just slightly, just to give council a heads up what will be coming down the pike?
Okay.
There are three bids that the city has out right now, which will be opening on March 11th and will be presented at the next council meeting. One for pressure irrigation mains, one for a sewer main, and one for parking at the North Treatment Plant. I wanted council to be aware that that'll be coming in the next council meeting. Also, you will note that the sewer line that the developer is putting in down Hubbard Road You may have noticed that they had to blast some rock out of there this last week, but that is progressing. It seems like it's progressing relatively well. Just be aware of that. In addition to that, we're trying to get a contractor to donate some time to install the drain line in Arbor Ridge Park, and that hasn't gone as well as we had hoped. I thought maybe council wanted to ask some questions about it. Mayor, I don't know what you want to do with those items.
Right. We're, you know, the KPAL was supposed to get us, and the man that they thought could do it couldn't. And so it we're taking a look at everybody that we know that might do that for us giving him a tax certificate. But so far, we've not found anybody, but we're going to look at maybe some kind of grant that we might be able to find, too. So anyway, if you've got any ideas, you know.
What all needs to be done there, Gordon? What type of work do you need done?
It's piping. It's a 36-inch line that needs to go in, and it'll have manholes or boxes that it needs to connect into. Pretty good sized pipe to work with.
So it's obviously more than just digging the hole, the trench and all that.
Yeah, there's probably some skill.
Yeah, because it doesn't have much of a drop on it, so they got to know what they're doing. Otherwise, it's back right up on what we're trying to get it out of.
Well, you guys got some new shovels.
16-inch shovels. You made labor.
I think it's something Jim Russell could do, but I don't know if he wanted to donate, you know. So we're looking around. And I know that Gordon has been asking one firm, and they don't even like to take his calls now. So that tells you how that's going. So. Okay, is there anything else?
Yes. John Larraway, the chief of STAR, wanted to know if they could borrow our barriers for the 4th of July. Street what? Barriers.
Yeah, on the 4th of July, we sure don't need them.
You have no objection to them borrowing it to the city of STAR?
You need them painted, don't you? Come back painted.
Yeah, it's probably a lame lion.
Do you have any objection there to them borrowing it?
No.
Tell them no if they can keep their representative over there under control.
Keep them in check, yeah.
Okay, if there's nothing else,
I move we adjourn.
Second. Adjourned. Thank you, John, for carrying up the highway to get here.
And I just, oh, yeah. I'm wondering if I know if it's